The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
From Memphis, Tennessee, on the banks of the mighty Mississippi, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us, that's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes. Oh, yeah.
And hello, America. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Hope you folks are doing great out there across the fruited plain. Wow, do we have a terrific show for you. Coming up in just a little while, I believe actually the last hour of the program, our good friend Congressman Jim Jordan is going to drop by. The congressman is very alarmed at news that the FBI has been spying on American citizens, and we're going to be speaking with the congressman about that. He is raising some very serious alarms about what this government is doing to we the people. So we're looking forward to that, having that conversation a little bit later on. Also, our good friends from Newsmax are going to drop by, Newsmax TV, and we're going to get the very latest on what's happening around the country. And we are also going to be taking your phone calls on a number of the big stories of the day. We also want to welcome all this week our brand new radio affiliates, WHKP in Hendersonville, North Carolina, and KYKN in beautiful Salem, Oregon. And all of you folks listening on those two stations, if you call in and Grace puts you on the air, you're going to win a terrific prize package. And it's just our way of saying welcome to the neighborhood. We are so honored to have you as listeners of this program. We've been broadcasting now for almost 4 years, and we're having a lot of fun. We're talking about the big issues of the day, but we're having a lot of fun, and we're getting to know a lot of great patriots across this country. I will say this, Cedar Rapids, Iowa, get ready because we're coming to town as well. We'll have some more news about that a little bit later. But the big news nugget is this radio show is growing every single day, and it's because of you, the great listeners of the program. You know, Grace Baker, we've got it. Maybe, you know, Rush Limbaugh, El Rushbo, had the mega dittos, right?
Yeah.
And ditto heads.
Yes.
We've got to come up with something. We got to come up with a name for our great listeners.
I'll be thinking.
Toddlers? No, that's not good.
No, that's not good. There's too many right. Negative jokes about
that.
Can
you contact the marketing department here at the broadcast bunker?
Sure.
And get back to us. We got to come up with some names. All right. Thank you, Grace. And welcome back, by the way. So glad that your voice, it sounds much better.
It's getting there. Yes.
All right. One day at a time. That's all we ask here. One day at a time. All right. So where are we going to start? I got to ask you a question about this photograph that's been circling around the internet. And I got to tell you, at first, I thought it was Photoshopped. And we have the picture over on our live show blog at toddstearns.com. So President Biden and Dr. Mrs. First Lady Jill Biden went on Air Force One. They got on board Air Force One. They flew down to Plains, Georgia. That's below the NAT line. You folks in Georgia know what I'm talking about. Way down in South Georgia. And they paid a visit. They went a-calling on President Carter and the First Lady, Miss Rosalynn. And they're the oldest living president. He's the oldest living president in American history, well into his 90s. So anyway, the Bidens go and they visit the Carters and they pose for photographs. And then there are photographs of the Bidens leaving the compound there in Plains, Georgia. Now, a couple of observations. And we've got these photos on our live show blog. You can see them for yourself. Now, Grace, you're looking at these photos. You're seeing these photos. At first glance, did you think it was Photoshopped?
You know, a little bit, just because it just looked, I don't know, there was something about the photo.
Something very odd.
Yes, it, the colors, the...
So one of two things, there's one of two things that are true here. Either President and Mrs. Carter are midget people.
That too.
Or the Bidens, after they took the vaccine, have become giant people.
The chairs look too small. The people, yes, it looks, there's something off about it. You know how
creepy Joe is.
He's already creepy.
So creepy Joe was like nudging into Mrs. Carter.
I know.
It's like, dude, give her a little bit of personal space there. And I don't know. I think they snapped the picture before or after he sniffed her hair. But it was really bizarre.
Yes. And the First Lady, she's got like a lemon tree dress on, first of all.
This is not, she's 90-something years old, so she may not know what she's wearing. But the point is that Joe Biden, he looked like, the way the photo was set up.
Oh, I know. And I blame the photographer. Strange.
It's weird.
The furniture looks small. The angle's weird.
It looks like the Bidens are in a little people house.
I know.
You know? I mean, have you seen the TV show?
Like they're in like, or like The Hobbit.
Just a moment, Grace. Our hotline just rang. Apparently, I said midget. We're not allowed to say midget people.
Uh-oh. I see the phone's lighting up
you
now.
You can't
Thanks,
call
Todd.
The little people midgets. My apologies.
Thanks, Todd.
So anyway, you got them in like the little Barbie. It looks like a little dollhouse.
Yeah, that's it.
And the Bidens are, it's almost as if, you know, when you go into your daughter's room and you got the little tiny table for tea. That's what it looks like.
Yeah, like you're having tea time.
That's exactly what it looks like.
Yep.
So there they are, and I mean, we're talking about the former leader and the current leader of the free world.
Yeah.
And they look like Muppets. I mean, Jimmy and Rosalind Carter just, it looked like someone, there were pictures online, it looked as though Joe Biden had a ventriloquist dummy. That's the way it appeared. I don't know what's going on there.
I don't know.
But here's the thing. This is the takeaway. So the Bidens were not wearing face masks
in
the photograph.
And there's no social distancing, that's for sure.
And there was no social distancing, especially with Joe Biden.
And he was inside. They're not outside.
No, he was all up in Rosalind Carter's you-know-what. It was very it was very unpleasant.
Uncomfortable.
I felt uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah.
But here's what I noticed. As they were leaving the compound, there are photographs of the Bidens wearing the face masks.
Yep. It's off. It's first show.
It's fake.
Obviously.
Fake news. Folks, I'm telling you, this face mask story is very, very important. And we make a lot of fun. We have a lot of fun here on the show. But this is about forcing the American people to do something in spite of the fact the science proves that those masks do not stop the China virus. Not one bit. This is about forcing the American people to submit. And now, and a lot of people have finally got to the point where they're not going to wear the face mask. So now you have seen a shift in the narrative. And so now they're telling us you have to be vaccinated. And if you do not get the vaccine, you cannot go back to work. You cannot be in the military. You can't do any of this stuff. Your life is over as you know it if you do not get the vaccine. Again, this is all about controlling the American people. Now, you may say, okay, maybe it was a mistake. No, no, no. They don't make mistakes. They know what they know all about the optics. And honest to goodness, I think that photograph of a president and Mrs. Dr. First Lady Jill Biden, along with the little people, I think that was meant to send a message to the rest of us. And the message is this. It's very simple. Up yours, America. We know, we all know the face masks do absolutely nothing at all, except maybe, just maybe, cover up your bad breath and maybe stifle a belch or two. That's all. But we all know it does nothing else. But here's the broader question. If, in fact, the masks do work, then why is it that Joe Biden and the First Lady did not follow their own advice? Why is it that they did not wear the face mask? Why did they put Jimmy and Rosalind Carter in danger, right? I mean, it's Andrew Cuomo, the governor of New York, the serial killer. I believe we have some audio here. Listen to what Andrew Cuomo said about elderly people.
Maybe you will get a long haul syndrome that we're not really sure what it is yet, but a lingering consequence of COVID. Or maybe you go home and kiss your grandmother and wind up killing your grandmother.
Okay, well, aside from the irony that Andrew Cuomo killed thousands of grandmothers, let's just go with that for a moment. What if Joe Biden accidentally exposed Jimmy and Rosalynn Carter to the China virus? Because clearly they were not wearing a face mask. Clearly they were not socially distancing. So what happens if Jimmy Carter gets sick and goes off to meet his maker? Are they going to blame Joe Biden for that? Maybe they should. So anyway, I'm very curious to know, folks, are you still wearing your face burqa? Are you still wearing the masks and the shield? I was driving home after the show yesterday, and I looked to my side. I was at a traffic light, and I glanced over, and there was some woman wearing a face mask and the shield. It makes no sense. I hate to say this, but you look like a moron if you do that. All right, we're going to take a break here. We're opening up the phone lines. And again, callers from KYKN, WHKP, you guys go right to the top of the list all this week, 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
From the front lines of the culture war, it's Todd Starnes.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. ToddStarnes.com, by the way, our landing page. All sorts of great news and commentary, and it really is becoming a go-to source for news and information around the country. Bookmark our website, ToddStarnes.com. Again, all sorts of great news, as well as our live show blog, where you can see the weird photo of Jimmy Carter and his wife, along with President Biden. All right, let's get to the phones real quick here. 844-747-8868. Barbara on the line from Benton, Arkansas, listening to us on KARN. Hey, Barbara, what's going on?
Hey, Todd. You know, I'm so glad you brought up about that picture, because when I saw it yesterday, I was like, holy cow, what happened to the Carters? You know, I hear that as you get older, you do shrink.
Honey, and, I man, shrunk the president. Shrink?
Yeah, no. I mean, golly Moses, anybody that put that out there knows good and well that that's as fake as a $3 bill. And so anyway, but I want to tell you about the face burqas, what we have planned for the 4th of July. On the 4th of July, we are having a bonfire at my house, and we are inviting anybody that wants to bring their face burqas over and throw them on the fire, just bring them over. We're going to be liberated on July 4th.
So, you know, back in the late 60s and early 70s, you had the feminists, and they were out there burning their brassieres. And so you're telling me that you, Barbara of Benton, Arkansas, are going to be burning your burqa.
You better believe it. And everyone I can find in between here and there.
I love it.
I don't want to see another face mask anywhere near me.
I love this. Barbara, this could be the start of a national trend, and maybe people all over America on July 4th to declare their freedom can set their own face masks on fire. I love that.
And send in videos to your show, you know. We could make this a challenge. I challenge every red-blooded American who is patriotic to light up them fires and set them burqas on fire.
I love it. I love it. Barbara, you are a great American patriot. And I got to tell you, you know, when people ask me, Barbara, why I am still hopeful about America, it's because of people like you. People who are not afraid, you don't bow down to the government, you stand on your own two feet, and you take a stand. And we need more patriots like you, Barbara. And if we do, if we're able to muster that, I think we've got a good chance of saving this country from the socialist.
You better believe it. Yes, sir.
All right, Barbara. Very good. Send us the photos when you do that. And again, folks, if you wanna light up your burka, send us a video, send us some pictures, and we'll post those over on the website. Let's go to Cordova, Tennessee. Richard, listening to us on KWAM. Hi, Richard. What's happening?
Hi, Todd, and I'll get right to the point. I do not mask. I have not masked since all of this began. I will not get what they laughingly try to get us to believe is a vaccine. If it were a vaccine, why would you need a booster shot? And if it were a true vaccine, why would it need an EUA, emergency use authorization? Why would you not be able to sue for damages if you're injured? Like, let's just, for example, say a blood clot. Let's say losing all the skin on your lower legs. It's a long list of things that have happened. And yes, I know that they're going to tell us that, oh, well, these are rare isolated incidents. Tell it to somebody who's gullible.
Well, Richard, the fact of the matter is, you know, a lot of people out there, as you said, are suffering horrible side effects. It's not just, oh, I have a headache that won't go away. It's, holy cow, the skin is falling off my legs, or sweet mercy, I can't walk anymore. I mean, these are really horrible things that are happening to people. And I'm with you. I'm just not willing to take that risk. And it is a personal decision. The government has no right to tell you that you have to take a poke in the arm to get the China virus vaccine. Richard, got to run. Appreciate the telephone call. Have you guys heard about this story out of Los Angeles where a deputy sheriff pulls over this woman who identifies herself as a school teacher? And the deputy sheriff, he's Latino, and she goes off on this wild rant. Take a listen.
Limit is 40, and I was going 38, so why are you harassing me?
You are correct. I pulled you over because
you're a murderer. Yes, I started to record because you're a murderer.
You can't be on your cell phone while you're driving.
I wasn't on my phone. I was recording you because you scared me.
You can't use your cell phone while you're recording.
I can record you.
May I have your driver's license?
It's at my apartment.
What's your apartment?
It's at my home. I'm just taking my son to his
Do you
charity.
Have a, do you have your driver's license?
I mistakenly left it at home.
Do you have a picture of your driver's license?
Yes, I do.
May I have it?
And can you call your supervisor, please? Because
I already did. He's on his way.
Good, because you're a murderer.
Okay.
And so you're giving me a cell phone ticket? Is that why you're harassing me?
Not harassment. Yeah. I am enforcing the law.
I have a right to and record the police when they're harassing me.
By all means, but you can't do it while you're driving.
I wasn't texting or none of that.
Do you have that picture?
You scared me and made me think you were going to murder me.
Okay, well, I'm sorry you feel that way.
Well, that's not just a feeling. You're a murderer.
Okay. Can you zoom in on that for me,
Sure. Jay?
Thank you.
And I'm perfectly legal, and I'm a teacher. So there.
Congratulations.
Murderer. Oh, jeez.
You're a murderer.
I can't see that there.
Well,
if
here you
stop,
go, murderer.
Stop shaking. Zoom in on that for
no,
me,
No, because
right?
You're scaring me. You're threatening to kill me and my son. Can you give me
okay.
the
Okay.
Well,
you, I'll tell you what. You keep smiling.
Yeah,
you're on camera.
You're trying to threaten to kill me.
I didn't say that.
You're the one who's crazy.
Hold that still. I can't see that. Is this your car?
Yes, it is. You're trying to say I stole my own car because you're jealous?
Yeah,
is that what
I don't
that's
think
about?
So. You wait for me right here, okay?
You're jealous.
All you need to do is your signature. He's only citing you for using your cell phone while you're driving. That's it.
Okay, enough of this. Enough of this. Turn this off, please. Kyle, turn that off, please. Thank you. Folks, we're going to get to more of that coming up after the break here. I got to tell you, they don't pay these cops enough money. And I'm wondering, at what point do you get to haul out the taser? We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. That intro initially sounded like church camp around the campfire, you know, as you're about to share a testimony. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. I don't know. It's That's what it sounded like. Great to have you with us today, ladies and gentlemen. And by the way, a huge thank you to our friends over at WHKP. Grace Baker, I don't know if you have seen the video, the photograph I sent you.
They're awesome.
Is that not amazing?
Yeah, they're on the live show blog, so everyone can see it. So,
all right, very good. So WHKP, they sent us a beautiful photograph of the, they have a huge like Times Square-like billboard out in front of their radio compound. And they've got my face up there promoting the big show and Bill O'Reilly. So thank you to the good people there at the radio station. Art Cooley sent that to us, and good people over there. My only thing, Grace, and Richard Rhodes, of course, is the boss hoss, and so we want to say hello to him. But the only issue is I'm on the left side, and O'Reilly's on the right side. I just want to point that out, but.
Don't overthink it, Todd.
I'm not going to overthink
it. Don't overthink
it. All right. Welcome back to the show. 844-747-8868. And really, you ought to check that picture out. It's really a nice thing they did for us. Look, we've got a big story brewing within the Republican Party. And we've been telling you about this for quite some time, about this civil war. But it's really not a civil war. It's more like an insurgency against those conservatives who support President Trump. And I'm just going to go out here on a limb and say this is really about shutting down the House Freedom Caucus, because those guys are absolutely rock solid conservatives and they supported President Trump from day one. And there's an effort to get rid of them. Now, there's also an effort to go after the Republican Study Committee, and this is the largest Republican caucus up on Capitol Hill, very conservative, and those guys have been incredibly critical of Liz Cheney, the daughter of Dick. Now, I want to say something about Liz Cheney. She had every right to go out there and vote her conscience when it came to impeaching the President of the United States. If she wanted to betray her party, if she wanted to stab a knife into the back of President Donald John Trump, she has that right as an American citizen. She does not give up that right when she becomes an elected representative. That's her decision to make as a Congress lady. But what she does not have a right to do as the leader of the Republican House Conference is to launch an insurgency against the conservatives. She doesn't have that right. She is using her leadership platform to fight against her own party. And this makes absolutely no sense. And I'm telling you, a lot of Republicans out in the heartland are getting very disgusted with this. They're tired of the infighting. They're tired of the Republicans behaving like Democrats. And they want the Republicans to unite on Capitol Hill so that we can fight the Democrats and we can stop the socialist takeover of America. So my advice to Liz Cheney, the daughter of Dick, and Mitt Romney, Willard, and George W. Bush, and Cindy McCain is very clear. Knock it off. Knock it off. If you don't want to be a Republican, join the Democrats. But I'm sick of it. And I've seen this play out before, ladies and gentlemen, and this angers me. Because we have so much riding on this election coming up in 2022. We have so much riding on the election coming up in 2024. Do you understand how close we now are to socialism in this country? When you look at Joe Biden, you thought that he was going to govern as a moderate. This guy is governing to the far left of Barack Hussein Obama. But instead of fighting Joe Biden, you have Liz Cheney out there attacking President Trump. Well, Todd, President Trump's been attacking her. What's she supposed to do? No, 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 no. No, no, no. Let me explain this. Donald Trump doesn't pick a fight, but he sure does finish it. And when Liz Cheney started attacking this president, the president fought back. And he has a right to do that. He has a right to defend himself. If Liz Cheney didn't, if she didn't want to fight, she shouldn't have opened her mouth. But now the fight is on. So Kevin McCarthy, who is the minority leader in the House of Representatives, was asked about this on Fox and Friends. He seems to think that Cheney is going to get the heave-ho. Let's take a listen.
Republican Party in the House, you are the number one Republican in leadership. Steve Scalise is number two. Liz Cheney is number three. There are a number of reports out right now, Leader McCarthy, that some of your allies are saying we're unhappy with her in leadership because she voted to impeach President Trump, and now they're vowing a vote to get rid of her. What can you tell us about that?
No, there's no concern about how she voted on impeachment. That decision has been made. I have heard from members concerned about her ability to carry out the job as conference chair, to carry out the message. We all need to be working as one if we're able to win the majority. Remember, majorities are not given, they are earned. And that's about the message about going forward. Combating Joe Biden, what he's done to this border by making it insecure and what's coming across. Just what he's doing here about small businesses, not opening schools, not getting us back to work, back to health, back to normal. That's the message we should be talking about. I haven't heard members concerned about her vote on impeachment. It's more concerned about the job ability to do and what's our best step forward that we can all work together instead of attacking one another.
And look, that is a great sentiment that Mr. McCarthy speaks of, but I don't trust anything that guy's selling. And I'll get to that in just a moment. But go back to the early days of this Congress when the Republicans had a chance to punish Liz Cheney and remove her from the leadership position. And what happened? What happened, ladies and gentlemen? The Republicans could not muster the votes or the courage to oust Liz Cheney. So what does that tell us? Well, it tells us that Liz Cheney, the daughter of Dick, has a lot of support and wields a lot of power. But you know who wields even more power than the daughter of Dick, ladies and gentlemen? I'll tell you who. The good voters back home in Wyoming. And the polls do not look good for Miss Cheney. Not one iota. Now, look, I'm not questioning her conservative credentials at all. And she has voted for conservative issues. No doubt about it. No doubt about it that Liz Cheney is a warmonger and wants to get us involved in conflicts. And you know what? That's her right. But she does not have a right to represent a viewpoint that is not the majority viewpoint of the entire Republican caucus in the House of Representatives. It's outrageous. They may as well have, I don't know, Valerie Jarrett leading the Republican conference. Unbelievable. So there's going to be another effort to remove Cheney from her leadership position. Now, the question is, where does all of this go? And I got to tell you, I have grave, grave concerns about this. Because the kinds of Republicans like George W. Bush, for example, those kinds of Republicans, they bow down and capitulate to the Democrats. Given the opportunity, that's what they do. They are establishment Republicans, and they are more concerned about getting along than getting things done. Just keep in mind, George W. Bush never, let's talk about the pro-life issue. George W. Bush, not once did he ever go in person and speak to the pro-life March for Life in Washington, D.C., right out the back door in the backyard of the White House. He would not do that. The only Republican president to do that was Donald Trump. As a matter of fact, look at the very first pick that George W. Bush had for the Supreme Court. And that told me everything I needed to know about George W. Bush. And I am not taking one thing away from his great leadership in the aftermath of the 9/11 terrorist attacks when Muslims waged jihad on American soil. That was a good thing he did. But his first Supreme Court pick, Harriet Myers, who was a leftist. It would have been like putting another John Roberts on the Supreme Court. By the way, who put John Roberts on the Supreme Court? So there is this mindset within the Republicans right now of where do we go? Who are we going to be? Are we going to be, there's really no other way to say this, are we going to be America First, Trump Republicans, or are we going to be traditional establishment Republicans? That's the question. And I here's what I'm afraid of. We're not going to resolve that question before 2022. And we cannot afford to have infighting within the Republican Party. Now, it's one thing if Liz Cheney, as the leader of the conference, wants to have these conversations behind closed doors, which is where they should be. But if you're going to take this public, that elevates it. And that makes it very, very dangerous for folks. Here's my prediction. I think Liz Cheney could very well survive another leadership vote. I think she could. Because I don't believe enough Republicans learned their lesson from the Trump years. They didn't learn how to fight. There are some, but not a lot. We'll see, and I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm proven wrong here. But the fight moving forward is not with Trump and the conservatives who feel like the election was stolen. The fight is with the Democrats. That's who the fight is with. Now, I'm curious. A lot of you folks listening to this program are, in fact, Republicans. And I'm wondering, are you concerned about the direction of the Republican Party? Do you feel confident that Trump conservatives will win the day? 844-747-8868. What is your message to the Republicans? 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
It's Radio Free America. Todd Starnes.
Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Let's get right to the phones. North Carolina, Ron, listening to us on the talk station. Hey, Ron, what's going on?
Hey, Todd. Same stuff as usual, I guess. Sorry to say, but I bet you felt so good when you were yelling, "Knock it off," because I just want to do that. Get on some kind of megaphone or soapbox, but tell these knuckleheads to just stop, get on board like the Democrats. They're so – anyway, I hope the Republicans unite and get a front together to where they can get something going and quit with their lily-livered selves and letting these people get away with what they're getting away with. And amen, just cut it out and get to the business of what we elected you for, which the few that you mentioned with Romney and Cheney, it's really a shame how they act.
You know, Ron, I got to tell you, I don't normally get that riled up on air, but it felt good. It terrified Grace. She nearly fell off of her chair. But it felt like therapy, Ron. And sometimes you just got to open up the window and just holler out, "I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore."
You said what millions are thinking and want to say and probably do say. I yell that at the TV or the radio all the time when I hear these knuckleheads.
I hear you, Ron. Well, we're going to keep fighting the good fight, and you do as well. And folks, this is Ron. Thanks for the call. Folks, this is about picking up the phone and telling your elected leaders what you want them to do. They represent you. It's not the other way around. All right, let's go to Hudson, North Carolina. Bailey, listening to us on the live stream. Hi, Bailey. What's happening today?
Hey, Todd. My message to the Republican leadership would be that while Trump was in office, his message was what the Republican voter wanted. It obviously, we showed up in 2020. We told the nation what we wanted as voters, and it was the Trump policies and what he gave us. And for the Republican leadership to now decide to back up and punt is a slap in the Republican voters' face. And so if we continue to take slaps in the face like that, we're going to either sit out and stay at home, or we're going to split off and split the party and never win another election.
You see, Bailey, that is my concern, is that the party is going to split. And I'm afraid that people like Liz Cheney and Mitt Romney would not see that as being a bad thing. And that's what concerns me.
Yes, sir. I agree totally.
All right. Well, Bailey, appreciate the call. We've got a skedaddle, but always great hearing from our listeners all over America. And believe it or not, we've got a lot of younger conservatives listening to this program and growing our young conservative listeners. And Bailey, one of those great guys out there from North Carolina. By the way, if you think we're out of the woods on all of this, I want to play some audio for you. This is Kevin McCarthy. Tucker Carlson had a piece on his show last night revealing that Kevin McCarthy is renting a room from the pollster Frank Luntz, who is a leftist, but the Republicans love this guy. Republican establishment, they love this guy. Let's take a listen.
I don't know if your ears were burning last night in the 8 o'clock hour, but Tucker Carlson said he had received a tip that you have been living with pollster and corporate consultant Frank Luntz. What's up with that?
I didn't know how this was controversial. Frank has been a friend of mine for more than 30 years. I met him with Newt Gingrich back when they were working on the Contract with America. You know, as the Democrats took over, they started changing the House around. And so, yeah, I rented a room for Frank for a couple months. But don't worry, I'm back to going back to where I normally am on my couch in my office.
Well,
but,
Tucker,
yeah, we paid fair market rate.
Tucker, he
seems upset. I think
look, I know McCarthy is brushing this off. But this is a big deal here. Why exactly is the guy in charge of the Republicans in the Congress, the House of Representatives, why is this guy shacking up with a known leftist? Just the optics alone look horrible. We'll talk more about this a little bit later on. I want to go to the phones, though. Arizona, Lindsay, listening to us on the live stream. All right, real quick, Lindsay, what's going on?
Just had a kind of a tangential point, but it kind of wraps back. Just wondering, I think the Trump years were really good at exposing sort of the big Republicans, as far as Liz Cheney and Bush. But I also think that the Trump years were a little bit alienating to people. Sorry, I'm a little nervous.
No, you're fine.
I remember there was one day where the Trumps were, they were covering a thing that the Trumps were doing. It was like a rally. And everybody was really excited about it. But at the same time, his family was going to like a pride event. And they were saying, we're for you, we're for LGBT. And I think what actually would help the Republicans going forward is just getting back to their ideological roots. As far as family first and that sort of thing.
Sorry. Oh, sure. Sure. No, you're fine, Lindsay. Look, I hear what you're saying. I'm not sure that's going to happen, and especially with the Jenner, formerly known as Bruce, running for governor in California as a Republican. And I hate to say this, but the Republicans lost the culture war within their own party, and I don't think they realize that yet. But to be fair, I mean, President Trump was a liberal on a lot of those social issues. But here's the interesting thing. In spite of that, I still supported him because he was supporting things that I wanted done up on Capitol Hill. So I was able to put aside those issues to focus on the bigger picture. Lindsay, I want you to call us back. You did a terrific job, but I've got to skedaddle for the news here. Hey, folks, 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
Coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee. It's common sense conservative commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
All right, folks. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. You know, I finally agree with something Senator Tom Cotton said, the Republican senator from Arkansas. He says that it's time for Americans to thoroughly disregard the thoroughly politicized Centers for Disease Control. They're literally governing every aspect of our life, from whether or not to reopen our schools, our churches, our businesses, whether or not you can go to a wedding. It's unbelievable the amount of power that the CDC and these local health departments wield here in Memphis, Tennessee, where we are based, our flagship station, KWAM. The health department here is actually more powerful than the Republican governor of Tennessee. It's unbelievable. So while the national media may tell you that that Tennessee is open for business. That's not exactly true, because most of the large cities are still shut down because we are under the control, the rule of Democrats. So, look, I want to go to the phones real quick here. We had some folks holding over from the last hour. Let's go to Salem, Oregon, and we have Alan with us listening to us on KYKN, our brand new affiliate there. Alan, good to have you with us, and welcome to the radio show.
Thank you, sir.
So I understand that you believe in the vaccine. Tell me why.
Well, I don't necessarily believe in the vaccine, but my wife and I are 74 years old. We have 11 immediate family relatives here in the Salem area. And my son-in-law, a daughter, and two granddaughters have had COVID-19. My daughter has had it now for 13 months. And we decided, my wife and I, between us, that it doesn't matter whether we want to believe in the vaccine or not, but we've had over 33% of our family affected by this disease. We have a great-grandson that's... We don't want to infect him, so we decided we're going to take the shot. We don't want to be responsible to give anybody else the COVID, whether it's effective or not. We're not going to take the chance.
So, grandbaby
is due next month.
Well, let me ask you a question here. I want to go back to you. You said your daughter has had the virus for 13 months. Has she been sick for all 13 of those months?
Yes. She's had brain fog. She's had the sweat. She's lost her smell. She's lost her taste. She went back to work, working at home. She started off with 2 hours a day. Then she got up to 4 hours a day.
That's terrible.
She just started last month getting up to 8 hours a day. She still has memory issues.
Alan, and it sounds like a very terrible thing, and I am sorry that you have family members who have contracted this China virus. My concern is this. First of all, we do not doubt that there is a virus, no doubt about that. The question is the severity of this virus. Is it as dangerous and as deadly as the government has told us? Because we know within the time span, and this is all documented through the CDC, that hardly anyone in America is getting the flu or getting pneumonia. Everybody is now getting the China virus, and if you die, it doesn't matter if you've been hit by a bus, you get labeled as a China virus death. So that is the broader concern. But, Alan, I want to ask you a very simple question, and you sound like a very reasonable person. And did someone from the government come and tell you, Alan, you have to get this vaccine, you must get this vaccine? Or was this your own decision, your own choice?
No, that's our decision.
And that's my argument. This is an individual's decision, nobody else's. The government has no right to come in and tell me what I can and cannot put into my body. That's where I draw the line.
Yes. On our last granddaughter just got COVID 2 weeks ago, and the government did call us and told us what they wanted us to do, but we'd already gotten the shot, so it didn't make any difference to us what they said we could or could not do. And it didn't make any difference anyway, because we weren't following everything the government was telling us to do. So, but that didn't matter.
Well,
but for us, it was just the importance that we weren't going to give COVID to anybody.
No, look, and I get
our choice.
No, and I get that, but it has to be your choice, and that's what this show is about. Your choice, not the government forcing you to do anything. Alan, welcome to the show. We hope you give us a call back one of these days. Don't go anywhere, because Grace is going to get your info, and we would love to send you a lovely gift. Welcome to all of our great new listeners in Salem, Oregon. You know, just last week, folks, President Trump said Newsmax is really good. And many of you agree with what President Trump said about Newsmax TV. More than 30 million Americans watch it every day. I watch Newsmax all the time. I go to Newsmax.com for my headlines throughout the day. And you got to love all of their great shows. Greg Kelly, Sean Spicer, Lindsey Keith, our good friend Rob Schmidt. On the weekends, they have Huckabee, Michelle Malkin, Dick Morris. Newsmax is never afraid to report the real news. So here's what I want you to do right now. Join President Trump and me and tune in today. Newsmax is on all major cable systems. If you don't get it, just call your cable system, tell them you want Newsmax, or you can switch. Newsmax, by the way, you can get it on your smart TVs like Samsung, Sony, LG. You can tune in on Roku, Pluto, Zumo, Amazon Fire, even YouTube. And millions have already downloaded the free Newsmax app on their smartphones, and you can too. So start watching America's fastest growing cable news channel, because Newsmax is real news for real people. And I want to go to the Liberty University Newsmaker line. One of those real people delivering the real news, our good friend Rob Schmidt. Hey, Rob, how's it going?
Hey, Todd, how you doing? Good to see you. Good to talk to you, I guess.
Likewise. You know, Rob, we were talking on the show yesterday about the Washington Post and the New York Times and NBC News. They did a hit job on Rudy Giuliani. Not the first time they've gone after the Trump administration. They all three used anonymous sources, and now all three had to retract that story over the weekend. Yet another example of the mainstream media, big media, lying about the Trump administration. I think that's one of the reasons why so many people are attracted to Newsmax TV.
I agree. You know, it's been really interesting to watch how, you know, the standard of media that we've had for so many years, you know, the media that I grew up watching, you grew up watching, I mean, it used to be just CBS, NBC, ABC. They've really all fallen out of place, and they've become, to some extent, activism news, which I think is a fair criticism of them. I think they've gone away from hiring really qualified reporters to hiring, you know, kind of left-wing people that are coming out of school and don't have the experience necessary. Reporters have gotten a lot younger in this country. I've noticed that happening as I've been in the business. They've got these sources that keep burning them. I mean, that's what's so interesting to me. I mean, I do actually believe that these newsrooms are getting this information about Giuliani from some source. Now, I don't think they're getting two sources, which I think used to be more of a standard in the old days of journalism, where you'd have to get that source verified by another source. But they are getting it from some source, and that source is burning them. And what's interesting to me is I think it was Giuliani that called out and said, you know what, they should have to divulge who told them this information, especially, you know, for him. It's like somebody's saying things about me that are lies, and then the media is printing it. You know, I think he's got a great case for something. I'm not sure what it would be, but he should have some kind of a case against these organizations. And I think that he's right. You should have to divulge. When you have a source that tells you something that is a lie, I think you should have to divulge that. Now, I do think that journalists should be able to protect their sources if the sources are giving credible information. But when they lie and the story is wrong, I'm not sure why the media organization would still protect that person.
Yeah,
and Giuliani, I think, makes a fair point.
Yeah, I'm with you, Rob, and I've used anonymous sources over the years. I think we all have done that at least one or two times in our career. But when that happens, you are dealing with someone that you absolutely positively trust, or you have gone the extra mile to make sure that information that they're sharing with you can be verified by somebody else. And I'm with you. I think in a situation like this, they need to name the names. Those people need to be exposed. But it's very clear to me that we are still dealing with a, for lack of a better term, that swamp, that deep state swamp that is trying to get revenge on President Trump and his administration.
Yeah, and they're burning these news organizations. I mean, think about all the credibility that's lost every time they have to retract a story like this. I mean, this ended up being a big deal. I know they tried to quietly do it so nobody would notice, which honestly ends up making it worse, because then all the conservative media jumps on them and says, oh, look, you know, the New York Times is just trying to change the story. They're not even trying to roll a retraction. They're just going in and editing the story back to what it should be and not say anything. And then the New York Times then had to make a louder retraction and actually do it right. So, I mean, it's funny when they try to conceal it, it looks even worse. And it's a big thing, you know, and people, it makes people think. It's like, why do these mistakes always happen, you know, in stories that are negative about Republicans or that are negative about Trump?
And in all fairness, I got to tell you, you know, Fox News a couple of weeks ago, they got two stories wrong. They had to walk back two stories that reflected negatively on Joe Biden. And you said something earlier that makes so much sense, and it really is true. I think the problem is we don't have enough qualified people and experienced people at the national level. You know, there used to be a time when you had to put in your dues at, you know, Market 300 and you worked your way up to New York City. And now kids are coming right out of college and they're getting jobs because these big corporate guys are going to pay cheap money.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I remember the stories. I remember hearing the salaries of people that would work in local news at big markets back in like the 80s and 90s. I mean, these guys were making a fortune. And I can tell you now, these kids they got coming into local news that are getting jobs in these major markets, I mean, they have to have roommates so they can survive. So, I mean, the media landscape's definitely changed. They don't want to spend the kind of money they used to hire qualified people to do it in local and in network news by extension. I mean, people are just moving through the ranks way faster. I had to start in Redding, California, which was Market 130. I was there for a couple of years. I mean, you know, I think a lot of people had to start in those small towns. I made $8 an hour as a news reporter. And you just kind of you have to just work your way up. And I think a lot of people are skipping a lot of steps. And I think, yeah, like you said, I think, you know, these big corporations say, God, we can fire these, you know, these old guys, you know, that are making $500,000 and bring in somebody that's got 4 years experience for $80,000, you know, pocket the rest and, you know, still get a similar product, but you're not getting the quality.
No, you're absolutely right about that. And yeah, those days were not too long ago, Rob. I remember those days.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny, Rob. We had I was working at a large radio station in California years ago. And my first day, I was driving like, I don't know, a Ford Taurus. I pulled into the parking lot. I'm like, good Lord, what's up with all the Lexus cars out here? And every single news anchor and talk show host was driving a Lexus. They had some sort of a deal with the radio station. I'm like, I got to get on that action.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was a full throttle business there for a long time. Remember when there was only 25, 30 channels back in the, you know, in the 90s and stuff, and then CNN came along. I mean, if you had to see news, you only had so many options.
That was it.
Now there's a million options.
That was it. So you need to tell Chris Ruddy, Land Rovers for the whole.
Yeah. There you go.
All right, Rob, we got to leave it there. Great work you do on Newsmax. I know a lot of our listeners love your work, and we'll see you on the TV.
I appreciate that, Todd. Good to talk to you.
All right, likewise. Rob Schmidt, ladies and gentlemen. No, Grace, you're not getting a Lexus. So I knew where you were going with that, so. Lunch, maybe. We'll do Lenny's. Is that okay? Lenny's instead of Alexis. All right, look, we got to take a break here, folks. We have some phone lines open. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
About to back up and bring it. It's Todd Starnes.
All right, let's get right to the phones. Salem, Oregon, KYKN Radio. Ron is on the line. Hi, Ron. Welcome to the program.
Well, Todd, thank you very much. And I wanted to just say welcome to Salem, Oregon.
Well, you're very kind. Ron, you know, I have not been to Salem, but we're going to be in Salem, hopefully sometime between now and the end of the year. But I hear it's a great town, and it's good to know there are some good gun-toting, Bible-clinging deplorables out there.
Yeah, there are a lot. A lot. Okay.
Good.
I'm a PCP for House District 20 here, and spent the last two summers circulating petitions to recall Kate Brown.
Well, you guys are certainly living under the jackboot of the Democrats out there. What's the attitude of conservatives, Ron? Are folks getting fired up?
Well, I'll tell you, I've done a little circulating in the past few, past years. This was the easiest petition I've ever worked on.
Is that right? How many folks have you got signed up there?
It was we had to have let me remember now. It was 280,000 signatures, and we got very close to that.
Well, look, as the people in, you know, Ron, as the people down in California showed, it all it takes is determination. You got to get out there, and, you know, if more people are like you, Ron, and they're taking the initiative to get out there, you're going to get those numbers.
Exactly.
I mean, the same thing happened in California. Ron, I hate to do this, but we're coming up on the bottom of the hour break, so I want to put you on hold, and we want to send you a great prize package for calling in just as a way of saying welcome to our radio family here at the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Now, here's an interesting story. This is bizarre. A coastal town in Japan, of all places, has dropped $228,000 in COVID relief money on a giant squid statue, 42 feet long, 30 feet wide, 13 feet high. It's a pink squid. I'm not sure if they're making a political statement or what. I have no idea. That's the color of the statue. They say they invested in the squid to help drum up tourism in the cash-strapped fishing town. So I guess the thinking here is that people on the summer vacation are going to drive over and get their picture made, have the family photo made in front of the giant pink squid. I'm not quite sure that's the best idea in the world, but good luck with that. Although, I believe in New Jersey, right around the Summers Point area, and some of our New Jersey listeners will know exactly what I'm talking about here, but there's a giant elephant named Lucy, and you can actually climb up. I don't know if you can still do it, but I remember when I was a kid, we went on a vacation to the Jersey Shore, and there was a giant, you could climb up inside the giant elephant and have your picture made. That may or may not be the case. Now, much like I would say, I guess Japan is trying to pull a Dollywood or Pigeon Forge, which is redneck Vegas for you folks out in Salem, Oregon. That's what we call Dollywood, Gatlinburg, beautiful part of the country. All right, folks, got to take a break. We've got more guests coming up. Jim Jordan plus Stacey Abrams is writing romance novels. And, yeah, we're going to get into that, unfortunately. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Stick around. We'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns radio program. Always good to have you with us. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. Again, that number, 844-747-8868. By the way, the website, the live show blog, for all of our new listeners out there, the live show blog is up and running over at toddstearns.com, and we have information about all sorts of our guests, stories we've been talking about, links to those stories. We wanted to make it really simple for you to get the access you need to the information we share. I want to go right now to the Liberty University Newsmaker line from the great state of Missouri, the Republican congressperson from that district, Congressperson Blaine Lutkemeyer. Welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, Todd. Great to be with you.
Well, thank you. And, of course, you are also on the House Small Business Committee. And I'm as a small business owner, I'm excited about that because I got to tell you, sir, small businesses are getting pounded across America thanks to these Biden administration policies.
Yes, they are. I'm the ranking member on the committee. I'm also the ranking member of the Subcommittee on Financial Services that deals with financial stuff. So I'm kind of in the middle of all of this, thanks to the PPP program came through that subcommittee, and now I'm in charge of that area in the SBA, the Small Business Committee. So, yeah, the Biden's tax proposals, all of them, quite frankly, are devastating to small businesses because, you know, when you tax or whenever you put additional regulatory burdens or anything like that on these businesses, and, you know, the president keeps talking about this, you know, only going to be for corporations. Well, Mr. President, there's a million small business C-corps, a million small business C-corps. Most small businesses are S-corps, but there's still a million C-corps. So you're hammering those. While you raise the individual rate, you're hammering the small businesses, the S-corps. Double cap gains, you hammer basically your S-corp folks, your small businesses. And then you, as if to get one last lick in, when they redo the estate tax and take away the stepped-up basis for inheriting the property, that is one last crushing blow to small businesses, because it's going to make it really difficult for small business owners and farmers in particular to pass on their property to their children. I had a farmer the other night, for instance, tell me 40 years ago he bought his farm for $200 an acre. Today it's worth $6,000 an acre. He says, if this goes through and I happen to pass on, why, I can't give my, my kids can never afford to inherit the farm. So this is devastating on many, many fronts, Todd, and we just got to keep pushing back and alarming people to this so they can, get on everybody else that's in Washington there and push back on this nonsense.
I'm curious, Congressman, why did you want to be on the Small Business Committee?
Well, I had been on it for 10 years, and I stepped off last term because we lost the majority and we didn't have enough seats to go around, and I was already serving on financial services. I was a ranking member of a subcommittee there already, so they asked me to give up my seat, which I did, to help some other people have a committee to take to go with. But now, in this particular term, we wound up with only four returning members who were actually freshmen last year, and six of the new members coming on were also freshmen. So 10 of the 12 members, including myself, were all either freshmen or sophomores. So they asked me to come back to the committee to be able to oversee it. I've got one other more experienced person who is now my vice chair, vice ranking member, but all the rest of the folks on it are very, very inexperienced from the standpoint of being on this committee. And so we're doing a lot of things to bring them up to speed very quickly, a lot of important issues. You know, the PPP is something we're overseeing right now, as well as all the other existing and new programs that are in the SBA right now. So it's a big job, and got a lot of young folks with a lot of energy, and hopefully we can provide that kind of oversight that we really need.
On the Liberty University Newsmaker line, Congressman Blaine Lutkemeyer from Missouri. Congressman, you mentioned the small businesses, and I'm not sure what you're hearing from others, but we found it to be very difficult to find people willing to work. They would rather stay at home and get that check from the government instead of getting out there and working. Are you hearing similar concerns out there from business owners?
Yeah, I mean, it's almost universal. This came with the last $1.9 trillion bill that was passed by the administration, the $300 per week check. It encourages people to stay home versus go to work. I had an interesting conversation with one of my constituents. He's a large contractor, and he called one evening and said, "Blaine, I want to tell you a quick story." He said the stimulus checks came out yesterday, and today 25% of my people didn't show up for work. So the stimulus checks, as well as the $300 unemployment check, are having a devastating effect across the board on small businesses, especially being able to hire people to provide the employees it takes to provide their services or make their products or whatever it is. And as a result, I think our recovery is going to be slow because of this. I think our economy is not going to be as good as quickly as it could be because there's just not enough workers out there to do the work. Especially since small businesses drive our economy. Todd, I'm sure you know this, that half the people in this country are employed by small businesses, and they create 70% of all the new jobs. So they're the ones who drive our economy with the innovation and the activity that they produce all the time. And we've got to continue to support them. I'm a small business person myself. I own a small business and a couple of them over the last few years. And so it's very important to me to continue to see these folks survive. This is how small communities survive, how your local communities survive. They're the ones who are a lot of times the starter jobs for people. They're the ones who can innovate, who are nimble, can react more quickly to things going on in the economy. And yet they're the ones, the very ones that this administration just goes after, bill after bill after bill.
You're absolutely right about that, Congressman, and we see that and we feel that, and it's not a good situation to be in, but we appreciate you being there and fighting the good fight for small business owners around the country. Congressman, we're going to have to leave it there. Thank you for coming on the program today.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Todd. Take care.
All right, Congressman Blaine Lutkemeyer from the great state of Missouri. And it's tough. I don't know if you are a business owner, or maybe you have been talking to business owners in your community, but it's very difficult to find people willing to work. They would rather, many people would just rather stay at home and get that check from the government. And this is yet another example of how the Biden administration and the Democrats are shoving this country down the path to socialism. Because people don't want to work. They don't want to cling to that American dream anymore. They're very content with staying in a government-run housing property, getting health care from the government, getting food from the government, getting a check from the government. And it's frustrating. I remember when I was a kid, I guess I was 11, 12 years old, and my dad, you know, came to me the day after school let out for the summer and said, it's time to get up. You got to get a summer job. And I'm like, wait, what? I want to stay at home. And my dad, in a very, very clever way, yanked me out of bed and said, no, you're getting up. This is not vacation. You're going to learn what it's like to be responsible. And I don't know if many parents are doing that. Maybe there are some out there that are doing that. But by and large, you know, I only say this because of what I see here in Memphis, Tennessee. Many children are left unattended, and they're running around causing all sorts of mayhem, or they're staying at home and they're playing video games. And that's pretty much it. But I contend that if you have a kid, that kid needs to be doing something. They don't need to be just lounging around. You got to get that kid, teach them some responsibility. And when you do that, what you do is you become little entrepreneurs. By the way, Grace Baker, if you've noticed, the lawn here at our palatial compound here in Memphis, Tennessee, the lawn looks spectacular.
Oh, yes.
That's because Little Starnes is our new landscaper.
I am not surprised. I think it's a family trait. Hard
family trait. 13 years old.
Woo.
Mowing the grass.
Woo. Yeah, I started working 15, about to be 16, working in a warehouse.
What was your first job?
Working in a warehouse was like, my first, like, consistent job.
Were you, like, lifting the boxes?
Yeah. And walking across, all kinds of, I was picking tools off vials, walking all day. Lifting.
What did you learn out of that job?
Hard work, and I don't want to be here for the rest of my life.
So what did you do?
I decided to do really well in school.
And you went to college?
And I went to college, and I got a degree, and I wanted to do something that I actually enjoyed.
So you've got all these folks out there at the McDonald's, Grace, and they're picketing the McDonald's, demanding, I don't know, what are they, what, minimum wage up to, what, $15, $20 an hour?
Oh, yeah.
At again, that was not meant to be a life career for everybody.
Unless you're like in a higher up position.
Right,
no way.
Unless that's what you want to do in your life, that's great. But those are entry level jobs.
No. Exactly.
Jeez, Alou. Otherwise you're gonna be paying, you know, $70 for the chicken nuggets.
Gosh.
And I'm not
gonna thanks. I'll just make them at home.
Not gonna pay that much. You can just chop up the chicken and put it in the fryer
just
yourself.
Go to Chick-fil-A.
Exactly. Well, there you go. Unbelievable. But this is the mindset, the mentality that a lot of people have here is they don't want to work. They want a handout. It's this entitlement society. This is a big problem. And I've written two books about this. It is a big problem in America. So I'm curious, moms, dads, when was your first job? When did you have to, your dad, your mom, your dad said, all right, son, daughter, you got to get out there. You got to get a job. And what about your kids? Did you make your kids get a summer job? 844-747-8868, toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
Triggering microaggressions from coast to coast. It's Todd Starnes.
All right, folks, coming up in the next hour, Congressman Jim Jordan is going to drop by. Apparently, the FBI has been spying on you, and we're going to get to the bottom of that. That's coming up a little bit later on. But right now, let's go to the phones. A lot of you want to weigh in. Let's go to Pastor John in Ohio. All right, Pastor John, what's on your mind today?
Well, thank you for taking my call, Mr. Stearns. You know, you're talking about these people picketing McDonald's that want to make $15 an hour. You know what? You don't deserve it. First of all, why don't you go to a firehouse and talk to volunteer firefighters? Go to the hospitals and talk to entry-level nurses. And then most of all, go to the U.S. military. Talk to the families that their sons and daughters have sacrificed so much going in at entry-level military. Some of them have to have food stamps. So when you guys can do that, when you decide you want to do that, then you can come and complain. The McDonald's, you don't deserve it. The people that are on the front lines in the communities defending you, police, fire, EMS, and the military, those are the ones that deserve a big paycheck, not you. God bless you, Todd.
All right. Well, thanks, Pastor John. And look, I mean, wow. And look, you may want to make $15 an hour at McDonald's, but that doesn't mean they have to pay you that amount. I mean, there's a certain amount of money available to hire people. I mean, it's simple economics here, folks. And if they don't have the money, they're going to have to raise the prices of the burgers, and then people are going to go to, I don't know, Wendy's or my personal favorite, the Cookout. That's my new favorite burger joint. Great burger joint. Let's go to Pastor Charlie. We have a lot of pastors listening today in Missouri. All right, Pastor, what was your first job?
Hey, Todd, my first job was driving a tractor pulling a binding machine at age 12.
Is that right, Pastor? That is back-breaking work, my friend.
It was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. I learned how to work. Then at age 14, I went and lived with a dairy farmer, and they would get me up at 5 in the morning, and he taught me how to run his grade A dairy barn while he went out and did the work on the farm. And I would milk the cows in the morning. They'd take me to school. I'd come back from school, and I would take care of them in the evening and feed and do all of that. And then when I was a senior in high school, I worked a 8-hour shift from 11 to 7 at a local truck stop and went to school during the day, and I learned how to work.
So they kept you off the streets, and they kept you focused, Pastor Charlie.
Yeah. My mom was single at that point, and I was the oldest of four boys. We needed to make some money. Had to work.
That's it. And you do what you have to do. I mean, I remember my first job, I was sweeping the floors at our local newspaper office. And then I got another part-time job at Popeye's Fried Chicken and Biscuits, Pastor Charlie. And that was work. That was a lot of work, but it was a lot of fun. And you know what? You meet people, you learn how to work together as a team, and you learn about personal responsibility. So, Pastor, thank you for...
I'll go ahead. I just said I taught my children to have jobs when they were in high school, and they're doing well today.
Good for them. Good for them. Great dad and great life lessons you're instilling in your kids. Pastor, thank you. Let's go to Michelle, who's listening to us in Ohio. All right. How about you, Michelle? What was your first job?
My first job was working at Dairy Queen at the age of 16. And for my children, who are now being homeschooled this last year, we're not raising little loafers. They're 5, well, going on 6 and 8. They have to be up at 9 o'clock. And once they have their breakfast and get dressed, they have to make their beds before school starts. So we're instilling responsibility at that age.
And those are their very first jobs. They have to get up in the morning and they got to make their beds.
Exactly. If you're going to sleep in, you can sleep in. That's fine. But you got to make your bed. That's your one chore for the day. It doesn't have to be perfect, but you got to do it.
Michelle, I got to tell you something. I'm a bit envious here. So Dairy Queen, that had to have been a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun. A lot of interesting people that you meet, and turning the blizzards completely upside down to make sure they're frozen and they don't slide out of the cups. And making the swirls on top of the cones.
You see, I'm a sucker for the Dilly Bar. I got to have a Dilly Bar over at Dairy Queen, the DQ.
Yeah, Those are good. I definitely like the blizzards and the old fashioned half and half with sprinkles.
Oh, that's now. Let me ask you here now. So, did you like ever have any fails when you turned because you turned the blizzard upside down? Did it ever just like plop out?
Yes, we've had a few of those, and you had to remake them until they were completely frozen. So. Yes,
but you see, you've learned another life lesson, Michelle, that you know what? You're going to have mess-ups in life, and you just get right back to it, and you make another blizzard. Have another dilly bar. I love it. Yeah, there's no way I could have survived at Dairy Queen. They would have lost money on that proposition.
it was very tempting to spend your money to have some ice cream and, well, put on a few pounds, too. So.
It all works out at the end of the day. Michelle, God bless you, and you sound like a great mom and raising up her little kids right now, just little fellas, and they already have to make their beds, and they got to get up in the morning. Grace, I wish I was paid to get up in the morning.
You were... Well, you mean you could host the morning show?
Yeah, not going to do that. I'm like, 9 o'clock, that's pretty good. That's a rough gig right there. Get up at 9
o'clock
make the
sounds
bed.
Great to me.
Have some breakfast. I want one of those dilly bars. Do we have a Dairy Queen around the place?
Oh, my gosh. It's like, it's pretty far away from here. It's out in the suburbs. Oh, geez, but there is like one left. Well,
we suffer for our radio listeners. We suffer for our audience.
Dairy Queen's so good.
All right. Got to take a break here, folks. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Coming up, Congressman Jim Jordan, plus your calls. Hang tight. We'll be right back.
Broadcasting coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging deplorable.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to Hour 3 of the big show. And, you know, it's interesting. A lot of you folks want to weigh in on this idea of getting kids to work during the summer months, during summer vacation. And we're talking about first jobs. And we're going to get to your calls. We've got a couple of lines open, so hang tight, guys. We are going to get to your telephone calls. 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Now, one of the things that we do on this program, and we have a lot of new listeners, and this bears repeating, we don't just complain. We offer solutions on this radio show. So we know that our country is under attack. We know that the attack is originating in our public school classrooms. We know that many of these classrooms have been turned into radical indoctrination centers for the left. And we know that our children, as young as preschool, are actually being taught to support and endorse socialism. So what are we going to do about that? Well, there's an incredible organization that has launched a series of children's books to teach kids about some of the big issues of the day, and they do it in a really incredible and effective way. The website is TuttleTwins.com. That's T-U-T-T-L-E Twins, TuttleTwins.com. It is a terrific website. Moms, dads, grandma, grandpa, you got to check this out. On the Liberty University Newsmaker line, we're very honored to have with us Daniel Harmon. Daniel, thank you for coming on the program today.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
Well, tell our listeners who may not be familiar with the work that you guys are doing, how did all of this come about?
So the Tuttle Twins book series itself is born out of a need for basically what you just described, parents being able to teach their kids about these principles of freedom that aren't being taught in the classroom anymore. And the author, Connor Boyack, he wrote the first book because he went online and tried to find a good resource to teach his kids about the proper role of government, like to preserve and protect rights, as opposed to getting into all this other stuff. And he didn't find any good resources at all. He looked on Amazon, came up completely empty-handed, And so he decided to write his own book for it. And he based it on the teachings of Frederick Bastiat, The Law. He's a French economist that talks about how we have a right to life. We have a right to liberty. We have a right to property. And then when government infringes on that right, well, then that's when people get really upset. That's government going beyond its bounds. And so he made this book. He didn't really think anything of it. But people, including myself, bought it up immediately and read it with our kids and loved it. And so he decided to write another and another. And now there's 12 books in this series, the Tuttle Twins series. It's an award-winning series. They've sold over 2 million copies. And it teaches things like individual liberty and free market economics and some of these things that are just kind of being lost in our culture or in the school system as a whole. And clearly there's a lot of market demand for it.
And now the book series is being turned into an animated cartoon series, which I've seen some of the episodes. It looks absolutely incredible, and I think this is really going to have a great impact on little kids and especially moms and dads.
Well, thank you. Yes, Connor, with all the success of the book sales, he started thinking along the lines of, okay, maybe we should turn this into a cartoon series for kids. And I reached out to him and I said, well, Connor and I have been friends for a while now. I reached out to him and said, no, I want to make it into a cartoon series for kids. I'm a filmmaker. I've actually, you know, had a very successful career in advertising. And so we approached him, came together with a deal, and we've been doing crowdfunding. For those that are familiar with the series The Chosen, which is on Angel Studios, they successfully crowdfunded $10 million to fund the first season. It's been extremely well received. The same thing with this. Last fall, we put this out to crowdfunding to fund the first season of Tuttle Twins. We were able to raise over $1 million. We've opened that back up again for investment, and we've raised an additional $1.7 million so far. We've actually broken the crowdfunding record for the top kid show in world history. Like, never been a show that's raised this much money through the crowd for a kid show in all the world. So that's pretty cool. And again, we're doing that presently. We've got about $1 million left to raise, and about 9 days left to do it, or 8 days left to do it. But it's been going extremely well.
Now, when you look at the origins of the Tuttle Twins, what is it that people are facing out there in the public schools? What were you hearing from moms and dads?
A lot of it is that kids were being basically warmed up to socialism, whether it was overt or whether it was just kind of in a roundabout way, that kids are kind of being taught that it's government's role to do all these different things, not just provide not just protect rights, but let's get into providing for needs and even wants and doing all these different things that kind of, you know, get people upset of like, wait, is this really government's role? And I think parents were just finding it very hard to find resources to kind of combat against this. And that's where I think the success of the book series has come in, is that it clearly outlines the principles of free markets, of free trade, of things like the golden rule, of sound money, of not, you know, inflating your currency to death. all those things are outlined in the books, and parents have really clung to that and have used it as a great resource for teaching their kids. My kids love reading the books, even without me prompting them. They've really enjoyed them just as stories and not even, you know, maybe realizing that they're learning at the same time.
And when I'm looking at some of the concepts, and I have to tell you, I'm rather surprised by some of them. I think this is neat stuff, but you're literally teaching. I mean, these are again storybooks, and you're teaching kids about the free market and socialism and the golden rule and true laws. I mean, these are pretty hefty concepts that you guys are dealing with in the storybooks.
Yes, very much so, and it's distilled down in a way in principles that kids can understand it. And what we find is that there's a lot of parents that end up reading it along with their kids and like, man, I'd never thought of it that way. This is a really good point. Like, that's a really good argument for this. And so that's one of the advantages of using the format of children's literature, or in the case of the show, a cartoon, is that you can explain things in a way and with a story where it can really stick. But the idea isn't for it to just all be education. We want the TV series itself to be something so entertaining that kids will choose it over the likes of their options on, you know, Disney Plus or YouTube or Netflix, as entertainment, as a fun story, as an adventure that they want to get into and characters that they want to relate with. And then at the same time, they'll get these principles and they'll ask themselves critical thinking questions like, why is it the government's role to get involved in this thing? Or why is it not? Or what is a real free market? Or why does something like regulation exist in this industry? Those are all the kind of deep questions that kids are going to be able to hopefully talk about and think about as they go through the series.
So on the Liberty University Newsmaker line, Daniel Harmon with the great program TuttleTwins.com. Daniel, where can people go if they want to lend a helping hand to this fundraising effort for the cartoon series? Where do they need to go?
They need to go to actually TuttleTwins.tv. So it's T-U-T-T-L-E, twins.tv. That's where we're raising the money for the first season. Again, we're only about $1 million away from finishing out a whole first season of this content. And just know it is an investment. This is not a Kickstarter. It's not, you know, just putting in a donation for a free T-shirt or anything like that. This is an actual investment in the show. So when the show succeeds, when we have a return on investment, we'll actually be, you know, paying that back as well to the investors. So it is set up very much as a business. And at TuttleTwins.tv, that's where they can get involved and invest in the show and kind of bet on the long-term future for our kids.
Fantastic. All right. Well, Daniel, we're going to have to leave it there. Again, folks, if you would like to donate to the effort to raise money for the cartoon series, go to TuttleTwins.tv. That's TuttleTwins.tv. Or you can just go to our live show blog, and we have links to both the website and the TV website there at ToddStarns.com. Daniel, what a pleasure. You guys are doing some great work out there. Congratulations, and I have no doubt you're going to be able to raise this money lickety-split.
Thanks so much, Todd.
All right, there you go. Daniel Harmon with the Tuttle Twins. 2 million copies of the books already sold. That's phenomenal. And again, folks, this is an opportunity for us to get involved and teach that next generation of young Americans what it means to be an American. All right, we've got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. That's a toll-free telephone number. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
So Jake writes in on the Facebook live stream. He says, Todd, not all kids are lazy. Jake's listening to us over on the Talk Station in North Carolina. Todd, not all kids are lazy. I got my first job when I was 16, 3 years ago, working at a Dairy Queen. Oh, two Dairy Queen workers. I actually went to my parents and said, I want to get a job. Great show. Well, thank you, Jake. Appreciate that. And so now we have two Dairy Queen alums working in the I wonder if they can get us a discount, Grace Baker. You know, we're going to Moorhead City, North Carolina on the book tour this summer.
Yes.
So maybe Jake could get us, like, I don't know, a free deli or something.
That would make him the MVP.
Pay for play.
Yes.
I would trade a book. I would trade one of my books for a deli bar.
I would trade one of your books, too.
Okay, you're not allowed to do that, but I am. But I understand the sentiment. Danny in Gainesville, Georgia, listening to us on WDUN. Hey, Danny, what's going on?
Hey, Todd. Thanks for taking my call. My first job was in a New Holland cotton mill in Gainesville, Georgia. I've worked there in the 70s when I was 16 years old.
Is that right? What kind of work did you do at the cotton mill?
I was a doffer.
Now, what is that? What do you do for that job?
It spins the thread on the spools, And it was all the ones I did was just all automatic. And then it run the spools off in the cart. We'd take it and it'd go down to another floor and they would make a...
So it was a lot of work. It was a lot of work is what you were saying, Danny. I'm curious now, kids, did you make your kids get a summer job?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they got a, yeah. My daughter, she got a summer job. Got her a car and paid for it. Went to school, too. It was all good.
Well, that's how you do it, Danny. I remember I got for my birthday, I got a... I got my grandpa's old pickup truck. It's an El Camino. It was baby blue with the sparkly paint. My goodness, that was a sweet ride back in the day. And Grace Baker, what are you looking at? Danny, just, Grace is looking at me.
Oh, I'm just laughing because my car is from my late great grandfather, and you've seen it.
It's a land tank.
It's a Lincoln Town car, and I call her Silky because she's silky smooth in her old age.
We had to expand the parking lot just to get it.
Yeah, it's a little rough. You see me backing out every day. It takes me a minute.
But Danny, wow. that's the way it goes, yep. Danny. And I appreciate you calling in and raising up some good kids there. Thank you for the call. And you know, though, I had to pay for the insurance, had to pay for the gas, and. Whenever I goofed up, I had to turn the keys over, Grace Baker. So that's the way that went. It is what it is.
Oh, yeah, I paid for all that.
Yeah, not good. Let's go to Joe listening to us on KARN. Now, Joe, I understand you had a job when you were a kid. How old were you?
13 years old, planted pine trees.
Oh, now, what were you doing at 13?
Planting pine trees.
All right, that's some good work.
Out in clear cut. And I got an inspirational story to tell you to finish it up.
Oh, yeah?
I started working when I was 13 years old, and this is for the people that's still sponging off the government. There's still hope because the government's got a program out there for people that got hurt on the job. I got hurt on the job in 92. When I got hurt on the job, I was off work for 10 years. When I was off work 10 years, I stayed with the doctors and stuff. They finally got I fell 18 foot and messed my back up. Finally got my back fixed. I was on government assistance as far as disability. They had a program in place at that time, and they probably still got it. It's called Work Hardening Program, where you can go back to work, and they'll pay your wages for 9 months. So if you make the transaction from being on disability to go back to work, and I couldn't live off of what the government's paid me, so I went through the program, went back to work, and been working ever since. I'm 61 now, and I've been flatbedding since 2002 when I went back to work in 2003, and I'm still flatbedding this day. Matter of fact, I was strapping a load when I was waiting to talk to you.
Well, my goodness. Joe, again, you sound like a great American patriot, sir, and a hard-working man. How's that back doing?
Doing good.
Well,
what they did, IDT they did on me, it takes place of fusion surgery, a surgical procedure they had at that time. And it when they done that on me, 6 months' time, you's better. A year's time, you's better. So on and so forth.
But it takes a little bit of time.
Back brace. Yeah, took a little bit of time. But I was able to go back to work after I went to that point within a year, and I've been working ever since. And that's 2003 when I went back to work.
Joe, what a great story, and I don't want you to hang up. I'm going to put you on hold, and I want Grace to get your information, and I'd like to send you a copy of one of my books, if that's okay.
Yes, fine. Y'all doing a fine job on the radio. I like things y'all talk about and things y'all putting out to the American people to put the right word out there that what's going on in this country and what needs to be done to get it back to where it's supposed to be, not where the Democratic Party wants it to be.
Joe, well said, and thanks for calling in. Give us a holler back one of these days. So let's put Joe on hold, and Grace is going to get his info. And, you know, there was a time in America when, by and large, the average American was just like Joe. You know, sometimes accidents happen. Things happen in your life, and you do need help. And that's what that government housing or government assistance, that's what that is for. It's not a long-term fix. It is a short-term fix so you can get back on your feet. And what an inspirational story. Here's a man injured on the job, major back injury, and he worked his way back, and he's been working full-time and just doing a terrific job. And I hope you're inspired by those kinds of stories. Look, coming up, we've got Congressman Jim Jordan. We're going to be asking him about this new report out, an exclusive report, that the FBI has been spying on American citizens. We're also going to get the very latest from the congressman on this battle inside the Republican Party. And yes, Stacey Abrams, a romance novelist. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show. Jeez. All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you back with us today. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Our website, by the way, is toddstarnes.com. And I would encourage you to bookmark the page. We're adding more staff writers and beefing up our editorial team there, and they're doing a terrific job. I want to go right now to the Liberty University Newsmaker line. Good friend of this program from the great state of Ohio, Congressman Jim Jordan. Congressman, good to have you back with us.
Good to be with you today, Todd.
Saw a very disturbing report from you. I was watching your interview with Laura Ingraham Monday regarding Homeland Security, and it seems as if you were telling us they're spying on the American people. What is going on?
Well, there was a news story out yesterday saying that the Department of Homeland Security is trying to contract with private contracting firms who are, in essence, going to spy on you. They're going to pretend to be somebody else, engage you in some kind of, you know, email correspondence, text message correspondence, and they're going to use that as a way to come after you. This is the same thing they did when they had someone posing as someone else cozy up to George Papadopoulos back during the whole Trump-Russia collusion fiasco. That's unconstitutional to contract out and think by, oh, you have some degree of separation that allows you to get around the Constitution. No, it doesn't. And frankly, Todd, when you couple this with what they did last week to the president's lawyer when they raided Mayor Giuliani's home, when you couple this with people being in their home in Alaska, FBI comes in and handcuffs them, turns out they had the wrong people. This is scary stuff, and now we have today out the story about the FISA court and all the widespread abuse of the FISA process system. System that should concern every single American who cares about liberty.
I mean, these are ideas and concepts that happen in a police state, not the United States of America. I mean, this is just insane. And you know, I saw the story out of Alaska where they, you know, the feds, the government agents barging into the home. Congressman, I don't see them doing this to Antifa or the BLM activists that are burning down our cities and causing mayhem and fighting with police. That troubles me. It seems like there's a double standard at play here.
Well, remember, it was 10 years ago when the IRS targeted people like you and I and conservatives who listen to your show. It was 5 years ago when the FBI targeted President Trump's campaign and spied on him, using the FISA process, using the now, you know, the completely false dossier as the basis to do all this. And now we learn of the things that are going on here with the FISA court now, with DHS trying to do this spying on American citizens. That's a troubling, very troubling picture. And you're right. It seems to be typically focused on Republicans, conservatives, on Trump supporters. And that is not, again, how government's supposed to operate. And it turns out when you have big government, you always got to be on the lookout for them to violate them violating your freedoms and your liberty.
You know, Congressman, I want to go to this Rudy Giuliani issue and a slight turn here, because over the weekend, the New York Times, Washington Post, NBC News all had to retract what would have been a massive major story about Giuliani and Russia disinformation. They had to retract those stories. All three of them used anonymous sources in their reporting. And I do wonder from a congressional standpoint, is there anything that can be done with these news organizations that have been weaponized to take out Republicans and Trump administration officials?
Yeah, I think Americans are wise to the idea now. When you see something in the mainstream press, and whatever the headline is, your first thought is just don't believe it. Just assume it's a lie, because these same people who will use anonymous sources to go after Republicans wouldn't use real sources to give us the information about Hunter Biden last fall in the run-up to the presidential election. Remember, in that story, we had an eyewitness, Mr. Bob Alinsky. We had actual real documents. We had an actual laptop that was you know, we there at the store. We had, like, real evidence with an eyewitness. And no, that was Russian disinformation. But the stuff they give us with anonymous sources, we actually know that's the true disinformation.
On the Liberty University Newsmaker line, Congressman Jim Jordan. Congressman, a lot of talk in the media lately about this turmoil within the Republican Party. Kevin McCarthy saying some things about Liz Cheney. Do you think she's going to survive in that leadership position, or should she survive in that leadership position?
I don't think she will. I think I think there's lots of folks in the conference, the Republican conference, who are, the bottom line is, should you have as a spokesperson for your conference someone who 90% of the Republican Party disagrees with? I think everyone knows where I was, 4 months ago. We had a vote, and Liz won that, was able to win that vote and stay as conference chair, but I don't think that's the sentiment today. And if there's another vote, I think it'll be a different outcome.
It seems as if, and correct me if I'm wrong here, I think they're trying to find, Republicans are trying to find, do they want to be more like a George W. Bush Republican or a Donald Trump Republican? And they're not quite sure which way to go here. Am I reading that the right way or the wrong way?
Well, I think Republicans know which way to go. I think we are now a populist party rooted in conservative principle. The leader of that party is President Trump. He did more of what he said he would do than any president in our lifetime. He had an amazing 4 years in spite of relentless attacks from the left, from the mainstream press, and unfortunately from some Republicans. And yet he was able to get so much done for the good of this nation. And he brought new people to our party. I think without question, the people in the Republican Party know that Donald Trump is the leader, and that's the kind of party we want to be in the future. And we need to have, as a spokesperson, someone who understands that. And is doing more than giving us Democrat talking points, but is actually talking about the issues that Republicans care about. And that, I think, is the concern that so many members across the Republican conference in the House of Representatives, that's the concern they all have. And that's why I think there's likely to be a change.
All right. Well, good stuff. And Congressman, I got to tell you, I hope you might consider throwing your name in the hat. And serving in that capacity, because I think you could be a great leader of the Republicans in the House.
Well, we appreciate it, Todd. My focus is on the Judiciary Committee and protecting your liberties, which the left continues to try to attack, and big government, as we've seen with these examples we talked about earlier.
All right. By the way, we've been talking about summer jobs. I'm curious, do you remember the first job you had as, like, little Jim Jordan growing up?
Yeah, well, for sure. My brother and I, we mowed 25 country lawns in the summer, and we worked our tail off. And I still remember people calling our house, wanting their yard mowed, some new customer. We tried to get to the phone first, because if my dad got to the phone first, he would never turn down a new job. My brother and I know we got enough. We don't want it. But it was it's the kind of lessons that I think are very helpful in life, when you learn to work hard and manage something and run a little tiny business where you're mowing people's lawns. It was good training for us.
Well, that's a pretty great story. That's a hard-working job, too, I'll tell you that much. My goodness. Yeah. I had to bale hay one summer. That was very unpleasant, Congressman.
Yeah, if you've ever baled hay at night, you will when your head hits the pillow, you will be seeing hay bales, and you'll be asleep within about 30 seconds, because it is some of the hard, particularly if you're up in the mow, stacking it up in the top after when you come in from the field. So. No, that's real work. We had to do a little of that as well.
That's it. All right. Well, Congressman, always good talking to you. Be good, sir.
You bet.
All right. Take care. Congressman Jim Jordan. And there you have it. The guy was like a, he said he had to mow country lawns. Did you hear that distinction? Country lawns. So that's like acres of land. It's not like a little patch of grass. We're talking about massive, massive lawns. You know, before we get to the break, let's go to the phones. Wayne, listening to us from Gainesville, Georgia, WDUN. Always great to hear from our listeners there. Hi, Wayne.
Hey, Todd Starnes, I love you.
Well, thank you. You just made my day.
Hey, you know me. I'm at Smokehouse Barbecue.
Well, is this Wayne from the world-famous Smokehouse Barbecue in Gainesville, Georgia?
That's who you got.
I got to tell you, Wayne, we did a book signing. And, Wayne, people, they find this hard to believe, but we did a book signing at that Smokehouse Barbecue restaurant. That was a lot of fun.
Yes.
A lot of fun.
Yeah, it was.
All right, Wayne, what was your first job?
My first job was working at the 10-cent store. They don't have them now, you know. It's Walmart and all that big stuff. But we went, I was 14 years old. I had to get a work permit to go to work. And my sister was 16 months older than me, and she was working there. We all had to go to work as soon as we could. Because, you know, times are bad and everybody needs to take a pause.
Now, Wayne, I remember my grandfather, and he grew up, he was born, I think, in 1918. And his first job, he had to run shotgun on an ice truck back in, this was around Travelers Rest, South Carolina. And back in the day, they did not have, you know, ice boxes. So you had to have these big blocks of ice, and they would put it in the ice box, and that would keep your food cold. And my grandfather's job was to take the ice from the truck, Grace Baker, to the house. And that's how he met my grandmother. They were young teenagers at the time.
And we used to have an ice box, and the ice man would come by with a big truck.
Well, Wayne, one day, my grandfather came a-calling on my grandmother, and the ice, as the family legend goes, the ice never made it into the ice box. Well, that's how they did it back in the day. So, well, Wayne.
My mom and dad, we were sharecroppers, and daddy got where he couldn't follow a mule all day, so he had to go to work at a public job, and so all the rest of us, we just had to get us a job. We did not go to the government for a handout.
That's right, and that's the way it used to be. If you didn't have it, you went without, and you worked hard to get it when you could. Wayne, I hate to do this, but we've got to skedaddle for a break. It is great hearing from you, and hope you drop by our next book signing. We're going to be coming through town later this summer, and we'll be posting more information on that a little bit later. All right, folks, we do need to take a break here. 844-747-8868. We have a couple of lines open. That's 844-747-8868. 8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
All right, coming up tomorrow, our good friend Bill O'Reilly is going to drop by. Bill's got a brand new book about the mob, and that's going to be a great conversation. Can't wait for that to happen. Also, we'll be welcoming another brand new affiliate, and it's been so great to have the callers from WHKP and KYKN, our newest radio affiliates, as we've officially hit the 100-station mark, and we're going to keep growing and growing and hanging out. I got to get to the story, though, about Stacey Abrams. So many of you know Stacey Abrams as the failed gubernatorial candidate from the state of Georgia. Many of you folks listening to us on WDUN are very familiar with her, but you didn't realize that Stacey Abrams was also a romance novelist. Yeah, no, seriously. Stacey Abrams has written a number of books under a fake name. Selena Montgomery is her lady novel romance name. And Grace Baker, I know you're really hot on this story.
Oh yeah, I put it at the top of your stack.
You're like, Tom, when are we going to get to the Stacey Abrams romance story?
Because it seemed like something, like, at first I thought it was satire, and I was like, nope.
Oh, it's not satire.
No, it's for real.
So one of the books titled Secrets and Lies, and Grace, I'm going to do a dramatic reading of the description if I can. She may be smart and beautiful, but she's also standing between him and a very lucrative item that he needs to recover in this African-American love story that blends passion with action. Oh, I like that. Passion with action.
I like that.
That is sure to thrill romance readers. Oh, baby. She just witnessed her uncle's murder, and she's running for her life. And now Dr. Caitlin Lyda. It's always a doctor.
Oh, yeah.
Dr. Caitlin Lyda is face to face with a breathtaking man.
Breathtaking.
Who could be her salvation.
Oh, my.
Tall, sexy, his eyes full of mysterious promises. He seems to have the answer she needs.
Clearly she has some repressed desires.
Oh, I've got the answer for you, baby. I've got the answer for you. It's too bad Sebastian Cain is one of the bad guys. Wait a second. So the guy's named Sebastian?
Wait, what?
Wow.
I have no words.
No.
I have none.
It's selling for $6.99 on Kindle, by the way. So, Grace, if you're looking for some light reading or something.
Oh, how many pages is this thing?
Does it say? You know, it should. I'm checking out Amazon. Well, it's doing pretty well. Ranked number 53,000. It's 384 pages.
Oh, geez. So that's not a novella. This is a novel.
Oh, this is like a full-blown romance.
This is a saga.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I've got to read some of the reviews, though.
Oh.
And where's the Barry White baby love making music? We need that again. Here are some of the reviews. This book will keep you reading late into the night. This compelling story is an amazing combo of emotion, suspense, and drama. Romance in Color says it's a taut, spine-tingling story.
Oh, my.
You know, I try not to use the word taut and spine-tingling in the same sentence, but this is a Stacey Abrams love novel. So.
Okay.
Wow. Selena Montgomery just went to the top of my must-read list. You know what I need, Grace? I realize what I need.
What?
I need a pseudonym. I need a name so I can Todd
Starnes.
Then you
can write whatever you want.
And write romance novels. The Hot Toddy. No, that's too obvious. That's too obvious. Her latest sexy thriller, The Sparks, both romantic and ballistic, don't disappoint.
Now, Todd, if you write a book, you can't say Jizzaloo, because that'll just give it away.
Jizzaloo, baby.
You cannot say Jizzaloo anywhere Jizzaloo. In the book. Or Baptist Martini.
Sweet mercy. Sweet mercy.
Stop.
Lord,
how much more time do we have till the show's over? I can't handle this.
Oh, I love this, though. Her sexy thriller sparks both romantic and ballistic. That could be a night in Memphis on I-240. So.
Oh, man.
You never know.
That's a book in of itself.
All right. So there you go. So it turns out the novels from Stacey Abrams are going to be reissued. That's the big news here. Berkeley announcing that they have required rights to 3 out-of-print novels that she wrote nearly 20 years ago under the name Selena Montgomery.
Selena Montgomery.
Mm-hmm.
That's not terrible.
Maybe like Bubba something. I've got to get a good pseudonym here. We'll work on it. You know, I'm sure if the readers can name your dog.
Oh, yeah, they can come up with one for sure.
By the way, how is the new dog, the Dalmatian?
Oh, she's
Merlot.
Amazing. I love her.
And real
amazing.
Quick, we've got like 10 seconds here, but she's also got an Instagram page. Is that
she
right?
She does. @MerlotTheDow.
You know what? We're going to post a link. Let's post a link to the Instagram page of Merlot.
Heck yeah.
And because Merlot is like the official pooch of the Todd Starnes radio program.
It's because our news is spot on.
Oh, I like that. Well played. All right, folks, we got to scoot out of here. We're going to have a lot of fun tomorrow. Bill O'Reilly, a lot of other great guests coming your way, plus your calls. ToddStarnes.com is our website. Get out there, folks. Have a great day.